Little Hand says it's time to rock and roll.
Bring the noise.
Welcome to the Everything Ashcast for the week of June 21st, 2010. I'm your host, Zach, and joining me this week is Brian.
Hey, hey.
And Chris.
Hey.
And for a couple minutes, Charlie, direct from the streets of Chicago.
Yeah!
Alright, so Charlie's battery is literally dying as we talk, so he's just going to give us a quick preview of what is going to be in his Chuckisode this week.
Yeah, I got 2 minutes left. I can see my computer dimming.
Okay.
So, alright. Chuckisode this week. Chuckisode number 5. Hopefully with a new preview song. We'll see. I'll be talking about the movies I've seen in the last week and a half here. You'll get some Black Dynamite. You're going to get some Zombieland. A little bit of Karate Kid and A-Team, which are both still in the theaters.
Mm-hmm.
And I did see a little-known Jet Li movie called Tai Chi Master, which I'll probably bust out a little bit. As well as a TV show called Sanctuary. I watched the first season last year, but just halfway through the second season, been watching that. It's pretty tight. So
awesome.
Talk a little bit about that, and we'll check out what's in my satchel.
Yeah.
And that was a bus.
Okay.
That was definitely a bus.
Thanks for joining us.
Sounds awesome, Charlie.
Yeah. Bye, Charlie. Colors.
Okay, computer dead. Stay frosty, guys.
By the skin of his teeth.
Mm-hmm.
Is Charlie recording at, like, a bus station or something? Like
sitting in front of a cafe in Chicago. In front of, down, like, where his apartment is.
How is he not, like, robbed yet? How is someone not, like, just, like, yoink?
It's not New York City.
I know.
It's Chicago. And plus, it's probably a better neighborhood.
I'm in, like, a shelter, you know? I'm in, like, just waving a gun around.
I want to see you.
Protection.
Chris, I think you should record next week, on the street somewhere.
It's going to be a very short podcast.
Yeah.
It's going to be me talking, then me running, then me the gunfire, and then a police report.
And a woman screaming.
Yep. All right. So anyway, why don't we get into what we saw this week, guys? Anyone want to start?
I'll start.
Ryan? Okay. Show and tell.
All right. So Friday night, I went to the drive-in.
Awesome.
And,
let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby.
Thanks for that, by the way.
Yep.
So besides getting my skin eaten raw by mosquitoes, I saw the A-Team.
Okay.
It was good. It was pretty good. It kind of at times bordered on completely ridiculous. And the more I thought about the scene with the tank in the trailer.
Yeah.
I think that's a good idea that they put that scene in the trailer, because if you don't like that, then you're probably not going to like the movie. Because that's not the only insane batshit thing that they do in the movie. And, you know, it's okay to say, you know, I think Joe was talking about, you know, it's kind of like it's a popcorn movie.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like you check your brain at the door. And, you know, it's not as, like, absurdly over the top as, like, Transporter 2 or something like that.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like, you know what, fuck this. It's pretty funny. It's pretty, it's tons of action. And, I just got to say something, that Mr. T badmouthed this movie as too much sex and stuff.
Yeah.
I didn't even think it was that bad. It's a lot
more
better
like, more
than...
More violent, I think.
More violent? It wasn't actually that bad.
Didn't you say, like, we were also, like, teaching people lessons and stuff? We're full of family, fool.
And, he had a point. But, you know, this is kind of like the origin story. So if they make a sequel... they're probably going to do, like, a specific mission, but...
Yeah.
I know, I liked it. I liked it for what it was. It wasn't anything that I'll, you know, rave about, but it's pretty good.
I heard Patrick Wilson was actually good as, like, the bad guy.
Yeah, he was, Lynch.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he was. He kind of, he's kind of, like evil, but...
Evil.
Evil and badass cool in a way. And Jessica Biel, I got to give her credit. She was actually pretty good in this, too.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't give her just her character's kind of predictable, but I thought, you know, they gave her some good lines, and her character was actually not that bad.
Yeah.
And so besides that, I saw Toy Story 3, and let's just say that Pixar's 3 for 3. It was absolutely magnificent.
Don't you mean like 8 for whatever, or 8 or 9, whatever they are?
I'm just talking about
Toy Story. Okay.
Franchise. That, you know, I don't want to go into a Pixar.
Like, their quote unquote worst movie is Cars.
Yeah, and I was just gonna say something about that. I'd say that's not perfect. That's like near perfect, but
it's like 80% instead of 100% on Rotten Tomatoes.
They nailed it. But Toy Story 3 is just absolutely wonderful. It got a bit formulaic at times, but they still redeemed it because, you know, you got the wonderful story, you got the characters that you love, and it's rare to see like a trilogy go long this long and still have some sort of freshness to it.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, you know, they keep introducing characters, but still. And then the ending is just – it's very moving, very good movie. So if you like the first two, and if you don't, you have no soul, you should go see the third one. Really good.
Heard like there's like a bunch of great new characters, like was it Hugs a Lot Bear or something?
Lots of Huggin' Bear.
Lots of Huggin' Bear, yeah.
Lots of Hugs.
Voiced by Ned Beatty, who was perfect. Another good, underrated voice actor, Michael Keaton as Ken.
That's what I've heard, yeah.
Oh my god,
yeah,
he was
it's
so
a while to figure out who's him.
I just thought he was like electric, like alive. He just, you know, he's kind of having fun with it, and you know, I thought that whole Barbie and Ken thing was pretty funny too. So it's a good.
Well,
movie.
it's not like Michael Keaton was like this like hard to reach actor. He kind of like hasn't done anything in a while.
I think the last thing I saw him in was that Tenacious D short. Time Fixers.
But yeah, he was in like White Noise and Herbie Fully Loaded.
Yeah.
That's why I remember him more now. Like that's more recent. That's more embarrassing.
I know. He needs to do more movies. He's a pretty good actor, you know.
Mm-hmm.
He kind of fizzled out after Batman.
Yeah.
He was Beetlejuice. He was Batman. He was my childhood actor.
Mr. Mom.
Come on.
He was Mr. Mom.
That too.
Yep.
But
he was Jack Frost.
Jack Frost. Oh my god.
That movie was horrid. So yeah, that's what I've been checking out this week.
Awesome. So, Chris?
I really saw Toy Story 3 in theaters. I went to go see that, like, this weekend. Actually, I think, kind of like, I can't remember if it was opening day or second day. I don't know, I forgot. But, yeah, I had the option of seeing in Disney 3D, but I really don't want to support, like, 3D movies anymore. Like, it's now become such a gimmick, you know?
Well, this is probably, like, better 3D. It's not like Clash of Titans where they just rushed it out in 3D.
That's true. There's nothing more I can really say that Brian hasn't said already about the movie. I don't want to spoil it. It's definitely like, if they never, ever made a sequel to Toy Story, it would be perfect. Like,
and
it's one of those understandable.
I think they've said that this is the last one, but, you know.
I think
it better. I don't want it to be like Shrek 3, you know? Or it's
Shrek
like,
then Shrek Forever After or whatever.
Yeah, and then like it just be like, we fooled you.
Yeah, I don't think they will.
Well, I heard they're doing like they might be like do like a short or something, like maybe like before another Pixar movie sometime or.
No, I'm probably cool. Fine with like a commercial or something, or like just the use of characters.
Yeah.
And their new settings or whatever. That's fine. Like as long as they don't milk it into like. See, that's the thing I like about Pixar. Each story is, like, unique. They all blend together because they all share the same universe. Because, like, Pixar loves to mention other Pixar stuff they've done.
Yeah.
You know? And, it's, like, one of those things where at first you don't, like... Like, when you see Toy Story...
Oh.
That's me. I don't remember.
All right.
The movie phone's ringing.
Oh, no. I gotta answer the call. No, like, I loved how, like, emotional Pixar movies get you for kids' movies. Like, they kind of trick you into, like, feeling really emotional.
Like Up?
Like Up? I don't know. Like, each Pixar movie just tells me, like, go be a better somebody. Like, go hug your parents. Go hug your loved ones. Like, adopt a Mexican-Asian Boy Scout. I really don't know what that kid
is. I think you would be the only person who, Oh, yeah, that's right. Never mind. Got that from Up.
Was he that?
You get the joke?
I was trying to think what movie had the Mexican Asian, then I realized it was Up.
Yeah, like, I don't know who that boy is. Like, he looks kind of Asian. His mom looks Mexican.
Have you seen the picture of the actor who voiced him? Looks just like him.
That's not helpful. Is he Asian?
Yeah, he is.
Oh. Son of a bitch. The only Asian Pixar character. Damn it. It's like, anyway. Yeah, like, I went to see, like, a midnight showing of Toy Story. I didn't sure I wouldn't go, like, with a bunch of families. And
at midnight?
At midnight. Actually, it might have been later. It was, you know, Jersey. They don't give a crap. And, yeah, like, the first little sketch they play before, like, the movie begins.
Oh,
like
was it Day and Night or something?
Day and Night. Oh, my God. Like, Pixar, I think, like, it's because they can't do no wrong. They'll get away with, like, subtle adult humor that makes it awesome. And, like, you can see in almost all their movies, like, the subtle, like, you know, hints that, you know, parents, like, pay attention, because there's some good funny jokes. Like, they keep making fun of Ken for being, like, this closet homosexual. And it's not just, like, a one-time joke. This is a recurring thing over and over again. Like,
hey, he just likes to dress up, okay?
It's like Tobias from Arrested Development.
Yes.
He's not a never nude, though. He's not a never nude.
But I loved it. If I ever have kids one day, Pixar is one of those things where I just cram in between, like, learning math and violin and foreign languages. Just watch Pixar movies with me.
Mm-hmm. So that's it for Chris? No, like, crazy obscure movies no one's ever heard of?
I saw XXX again. It was on TV. Okay. And the more I bring it up, the more Brian's going to bitch at me about how much it sucks. And come on. This is probably in the movie where, like, he takes on the Colombian drug lords, and he evades a helicopter by riding a motorcycle over a roof.
No, that was later, where he does, like, the Superman on the bike and, like, shoots the guy.
That's
the
later,
Superman seat grab.
Hey, guys. I remember those other parts that suck too, you know?
Yep.
The avalanche. No, this is the part where the avalanche scene, the part where he uses a cable tray to, like, skateboard down a staircase.
Yep.
So, Zach, what have you watched this week?
I saw one thing, but it's a doozy. It's a hidden Netflix gem, starring one Gary Busey.
Yes.
It's a
2007 made-for-TV movie called Maneater, and it's Gary Busey versus a killer tiger.
Wow.
So
my money's on Busey.
It's pretty much Jaws, like the worst version of Jaws you've ever seen. So just like. This drunk truck driver is, like, driving down the road at night, and, like, he sees this kid in the middle of the road, so he crashes, and a tiger escapes into, like, the woods surrounding this small town. And Gary Busey is the sheriff of this town, so then, like, the tiger starts killing people, and so Gary Busey has to, like, go hunt down the tiger.
Is this, like, a talent show to be sheriff? Like, I think you need to do something. I mean, if Gary Busey is the fucking sheriff of a town, that... What?
I don't... Like, he handles... Like, his main job is, like... handling quilt sale disputes and stuff. And act drunk.
Was there, like, an eating contest to determine who gets the gun? Like,
I don't know.
Jesus.
But, like there's also a part where, like, they find, like, the remains of, like, the first body. It's, like, there's, like, an arm and a foot. So Gary Busey brings it to the doctor, and he's like, Doc, what made these? Is there some serial killer running around collecting trophies? And he's like, no, these body parts are chewed off. Gary Busey's like, there's nothing that can chew off a human arm. And then, like, the whole, like, half the movie is, like, following this, like, the kid who was, like, sleepwalking in the middle of the road that caused the truck crash. And it's, like, mm-hmm. His mom is, like, this crazy religious freak, and they live in, like, this trailer in the middle of the woods. So, and he doesn't go to school, like, he just, like, studies the Bible all day. So, he, like, spends, like, the whole movie, like, looking for the tiger because he thinks he can be friends with it or something. It keeps, like, having, like, dreams about the tiger. I mean, you know, the tiger's just, like, killing, like, hikers and all sorts of different people.
So it's like, the movie Benji, and, like, it's four different movies, you can tell, like.
Well, it's definitely more like Jaws, because, like, middle of the movie, like,
No one tries to befriend Jaws. No one's like, I'm going to try to calm it down.
No, not really, but like the like they're having like this like apple corn festival, and like the mayor's like, you can't shut down the town. We have apple corn festival is the biggest thing this town has for the year. We're gonna have tourists like come in.
That's like an 18th century kind of like how we make money kind of way.
Yeah. Well, speaking of 18th century, like near the end of the movie, like this crazy British guy who lived in India comes and like who hunts tigers. He's like, he's got like a crazy mustache and like he wears like a pith helmet and like he's like an antique rifle and just like stalks. He's like, he spends the rest of the movie like hunting the tiger down in the woods. And then, spoilers for the end of this movie because the ending is just ridiculous, but Gary Busey and the kid, well, like the hunter finds the kid in the woods and they're walking to like the store where his mom works and like the kid's like, hey, look, it's a tiger. It's don't shoot it. And then, like, the tiger attacks his mom and kills her.
Wow.
And then Gary Busey shows up after, like, the hunter guy gets, like, killed in the store. And then, like, he and the kid take cover under a truck. And then the kid runs off, like, Gary Busey tells the kids to run off, like, while he distracts the tiger. So the Gary Busey's, running and shooting at the tiger. The tiger runs past a gas tank. Gary Busey shoots the gas tank. It explodes. And you can see the tiger's body, like, fly, like, 50 feet in the air and go, like, over the store. Then Gary Busey adopts the kid.
The end.
Yep.
Wait. Why am I the kid's father again?
There was no father. He lived in the trailer with his mother, and then like the mother like taught him the Bible. That's all she taught him.
And then she got fucking mauled by a tiger.
Yep.
Jesus.
And then Gary Busey.
Southern hospitality.
And then Gary Busey and his wife like they spend the whole like they keep for the whole movie they're like, man, why don't you guys ever have kids? Didn't you want to have kids? So, of course, they're going to adopt the kid at the end.
That's just foreshadowing?
Yep.
You should adopt this kid one day. He has a mom. I can't wait to get fucking mauled by a tiger.
Yep.
Some sort of clause to do that.
And you can tell this movie has, like, no budget because they never show the tiger, like, attacking anyone. It's just, like, you see, like, a person from behind and, like, get, like, grabbed by someone. And then they, like, throw blood on the screen.
So they even, like, had the decency to dress some guy up from a furry costume to, like, pounce on somebody else? Just...
They actually had a real tiger, but all the tiger did was, like, walk around and lay down. So, and then, like, you never see attacks, it's just, like, you just see, like, aftermath attacks, so it's just, like, corn syrup all over the place and, like, plastic body parts.
Look at all this blood! Yeah. Oh, man. That's, like, a college movie.
I was just like, I'm flipping through the action section of like Netflix Instant Watch. I'm like, Man Eater, that looks like a crazy tiger. I go to the description, it's like starring Gary Busey. I was like,
I'm sold.
Yes. Loading.
No, Gary Busey like random action movies is a common thing. Gary Busey in a kids movie is a rare thing.
Yeah. Like calm Gary Busey too.
Yeah, calm, sedated, hookered up, Gary Busey.
I think this is definitely, like, sedated, like, on horse tranquilizers Gary Busey in this movie. So, anyway, I think that's going to do it for Show and Tell this week, so I'm going to get into the news.
Yes.
So, first bit of news. Early last week, we got details about the Alien prequel from Ridley Scott. So, it's going to be it's going to be actually split into two movies. For the starters. And it's going to be set like things like decades or maybe even like centuries before the first Alien. And you're going to find out more details about like the space jockey who was like the crazy like skeleton that they found on the planet in the first movie.
Oh, that huge dead thing that was just like sitting in the room?
Yeah. Hmm. You're going to find out about like how that guy got there and like more about how that race and like how they relate to like the xenomorphs.
Because I was really confused about that. Because the aliens are supposed to take whatever it like fucks sort of.
Yeah.
And births like the xenomorph thing. Like remember in the first two movies, they were all like kind of humanoid. But the third movie, it fucked a dog.
Yeah.
And it had a dog like alien.
Mm-hmm. Or like and then an predators alien. Like
yeah.
Predator alien.
It had a hot predator alien. Yeah, okay. That can shed some lights, but, like, it's already, like, broken. It's a broken concept. So many holes in the whole, like, how aliens get to be.
Mm-hmm. And also, Ridley Scott said, like, the main focus of the film is going to be terraforming planets and, like, near faster than light space travel.
You mean, like, the future?
Yeah, the future.
Huh.
I guess they're going to be, like, I think they're going to be, like, I think, like, these, like, space, like, the space jockey aliens are, like, trying to, like, form, like, a colony or something on this planet, maybe. And then, like, they run into the aliens or something.
Okay. It's gotta be explained. They can't just, like, do an Alien versus Predator rush job and, like, look, like, it's their favorite monsters on screen. Like, what are they doing? Like, I don't know.
Running around,
impregnating other pregnant people.
Playing checkers.
What?
Messing around with mounted minority people. I think that whole Alien versus Predator 2 part was hilarious.
They go into the town?
Going to town, there's like an Indian sheriff, there's like the token black guy. There's like, hey, there's like no black people in that town either. And I really love hate the Alien vs. Predator series, like the last two movies they made.
Well, I think we're going to talk about it in a couple of weeks, Chris, so.
Alright, I can wait, but like that is just like, I am fuming about that.
So, anyway, are you guys excited for like an Alien prequel?
Not really.
Okay. Even though Ridley Scott's doing it, returning to aliens.
I don't know. Eh.
Like, if there's one guy you don't have to do it, it's Ridley Scott. Second guy, James Cameron.
True.
James Cameron's all about like not
different storytelling. Different aliens.
Different aliens. Blue he's cat all about people. Blue aliens. Yeah, he's all about like sexy aliens now. If he go back to like a wet, greasy, leathery alien, he'll do the same.
Mm-hmm.
He'll make it 3D. But he'll make the story make no sense.
Yeah.
And he'll have some other human dude try to bang that alien.
Hey, Chris, I was with a wet, greasy alien last night. Say hi to your mother for me.
Oh.
Wow. Okay.
But she has her papers. Oh.
Oh, no, that's just wrong.
Okay. Okay. Moving on. So we also got news last week that Ghost Rider 2, moving forward, possible directors, Neville Dean and Taylor of Crank.
I'm excited.
I know. Like, those two with Nicolas Cage, I mean, it's like, it'll be like Bad Lieutenant with, like, but Nicolas Cage's head is on fire the entire movie.
Bitch and technology.
But Nicolas Cage was not a good Ghost Rider. He was an okay, like, guy, he just wanted to see get his ass kicked, you know.
Well, that was like it was like restrained Nicolas Cage in that movie, except for that one scene where like he's like turning to Ghost Rider for the first time, and like he's like his head is catching on fire. He's like, I'm on fire. He's like freaking out. That's the only good part of that movie.
Not the bees.
Exactly.
See, that's the thing about Nicolas Cage movies. It's like, if it's not Con Air, The Rock, it's like any other movie, you're like, you see it, you're like, all right, I see another movie that Nicolas Cage is in. Let's see this one right now. And then you put that movie on, and you're like, fuck this movie, I'll watch another one. And then it just keeps looping, and that's how he gets famous.
Yep.
Hey, he was good in Bad Lieutenant.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. But then Lieutenant made no I liked it. Okay, it makes no sense. Like,
that's the point.
Yeah, I know. It just, like, keeps on going. Like, this can't be a real movie. And they keep watching, like, this is how the plot's moving?
Yeah.
Hey, he smokes crack. You know, Nicolas Cage on crack, I'm signed up for it.
And, like, also, Neville Dean and Taylor already kind of, like, demoed this at the end of Craig 2.
And they did.
Yeah. So I think that would be, like, if they let them, like, go, like, completely apeshit with that movie, I think it would be awesome. Mm-hmm. So, next bit of news is last week the teaser trailer for The Smurfs came out.
And it looks fucking awesome.
I thought, like, they were going to sell me car insurance. I was, like, just waiting for the
gecko to come out.
Gecko or, like,
Smurfs
can save
you 50% or more on your car insurance.
Yeah, just something like that. Just, like, what?
All right,
it's
so...
Like,
So, guys, is this going to be better or worse than Chipmunks?
Better.
Better?
Yeah.
Worse.
Worse. It's not going to have the stupid Kidz Bop soundtrack of popular hits sped up and pitched.
Take that back. I love their version of Starstruck.
Oh, God.
And then they made it even more better when 38830H like had Katy Perry featured in it. And I was like, hell yeah.
Are you a big...
Chris, you're probably the only one excited about that.
Are you a big fan of When in Rome, Chris?
Unfortunately, yes. I had to watch that movie 3 times on an airplane.
Oh, God.
Like, it was once going to L.A., then it was, like, twice coming back from L.A. It was like, we don't know what to put on. And we put it on again. Put it on fucking again. I was like, I'm gonna, like, just get up on the plane and shout, like, random gibberish until someone tackles me.
See, what I would have done is I would have just pictured Kristen Bell naked, and that would have been helpful.
It doesn't really help when, like, 3 times, though, in the same fucking movie. It's like, I thought it was funny, but then I'm like, this is the worst version of Transformers ever, because the dude from Transformers 1 and 2 was in it, and I was like, so, is she gonna transform?
What the fuck is about this Prime?
Yeah,
I was pretty weird. Yeah, I thought it was pretty weird in that movie where he just started grabbing and shaking her and telling her she's a soldier now. I just thought that was really weird.
And then, like, Napoleon Dynamite showed up, and I was like, huh?
Dan DeVito.
Dan DeVito was there, and I really got into It's Sunny in Philadelphia recently. So when I was watching that, I was like, you know, why is he not drunk? Why is he not trying to break shit or trying to, like, scheme people?
They were spending way too much time on this.
All right.
Go on. Go.
Oh, okay. Smurfs?
Yeah.
I'm gonna make a list of all the songs that should be banned from trailers. Number one would probably have to be Who Let the Dogs Out.
Yep.
That's a classic.
Wild Thing is probably up there.
Why Can't We Be Friends?
That's there too. And funny I mentioned this just really quickly. So I saw the teaser trailer for Alpha and Omega today.
Oh yeah.
Which is the animated movie with the two wolves. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, okay, they're gonna be using 2 songs in this trailer: Born to Be Wild and Hungry Like the Wolf.
Did they?
And what 2 songs did they use? Born to Be Wild and Hungry Like the Wolf.
Oh man.
So. You know, this movie could be pretty good. It's got Neil Patrick Harris.
It does.
They got
the original voice of Papa Smurf is back.
He's alive?
Yeah.
I like the voice of the Smurfs. Yes, even Katy Perry as Smurfette. I think that's an okay choice.
And
bring the full circle.
And Hank Azaria as Gargamel, I think is a great choice.
Do you think... I think I read that, like, he's gonna be like, he wants their, like, magical essence or something.
So he wants to eat them.
Well, no, he doesn't want to eat them. He wants to, like, just, like, steal their mojo or something, steal their magic.
And I believe that there was a scene where Neil Patrick Harris and Gargamel were it was filmed in New York City. They filmed the scene there, so there's...
Well, because the Smurfs, the whole plot of the movie is, like, Gargamel chases the Smurfs into Central Park. So now they're, like, in the real world.
Oh, so it's going to be like a troll in Central Park?
Yeah.
See, that's the thing I'm trying to figure out from the trailer, because I just watched that little clip of the world's greatest characters are, like, coming like into your world. I'm like, oh, where's our world? Oh, they're in fucking New York? Like,
yep.
It's either New York or L.A. Like, there's never anywhere else that it would make sense, you know? And it's like, and then I'm like, wait, so where do the Smurfs take place? Like, because I was like, I thought they were French.
In the Mushroom Village.
Well, no. Like, think back. Like, Gargamel wears, like, a robe and just, like, these bird clogs. Well, so is he German?
It's based on, like, French cartoons.
Yes.
French cartoon? Yeah. Okay. So.
There's like, an issue of the old comic where, like, there was, like, zombie Smurfs. There's, like, these evil black Smurfs that, like, bit other Smurfs and then they turned black. It was crazy.
Jeez. The 80s was a different time.
All right, so let's move on.
Like, they should definitely have, like, some of the weird Smurf stuff in this movie, though. Like, Gargamel, like, actually creates Smurfette and stuff to, like, seduce the Smurfs into, like, so he can eat them or turn them into gold.
That backfired.
Yeah, it did. Well,
all right. Isn't there, another girl Smurf that they just don't mention a lot?
Yeah, there is. What's her name?
Or I guess think of Snorks.
No.
There was another girl Smurf.
There was a redhead with freckles.
Yep. And I just saw what her name was, and I am totally blank.
Ginger Smurf?
Like, not Smurfette?
Not Smurfette Smurf.
Not Smurfette Smurf.
Of course, I'm going through the list of Smurfs.
Oh, God.
Like, there's a gay one. There's an angry one.
Adjective Smurf.
Sasset. That's it.
Sasset?
Sasset.
Sasset. S-A-S-S-E-T-T-E.
Sassy Smurf?
Sasset.
That's such a lazy man creation.
Yep.
All right.
All right, so enough Smurfs. Yes. Why don't we move on to Hobbits? So we got sort of like this rumor going around that like since Guillermo del Toro is like off the Hobbit movie now, they're like scrambling for a new director, and one of the directors might be Neil Blomkamp from District 9.
Good choice.
Mm-hmm. And he already has like he's like Peter Jackson's protege, so.
Pretty much.
Any thoughts, Chris?
I don't want this to ruin the trilogy. We say that now, like Lord of the Rings, like it's up there with one of the perfect trilogies that doesn't really have that many flaws that you can't say like each movie was like different or the same, you know, like it was actually like, you know, it's one story. That's what a good trilogy is. It's one continual story. But going back and then throwing like a new director and then I'm pretty sure like maybe a quarter of the cast from like the first three movies are gonna be in this movie. So things are going to be a little bit different, and I don't know. I'm going to wait. Like,
what hurts me?
Hobbit was the first book that...
Yeah.
The Hobbit was the first book that like I read before Lord of the Rings, so I was, like, tricked. You know, like, oh, someone's starting me off on the wrong foot. All right. So I'm just hoping, like, it would be equal or better, but I don't know. Yeah, I don't want it to be the Crystal Skull, the Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull. It kind of... Like, you know, hey, we didn't need to make this, but we did anyway, kind of thing.
Well, could like Die Hard 4?
the Die Hard 4. And,
Well, if Neil Blomkamp directs it, there could be aliens in it.
No, there could be, like, a political message in there, which it does not need to be.
Hey, I'll be shot mockumentary style.
That'd be awesome.
Oh, my God. Actually, no. If it was like that, it was like you see everything through, like...
Hobbit vision.
Hobbit vision. Oh my God, like everyone's like a foot taller than, no, it's more than that. Everyone would be like 3 feet taller than Bilbo. That'd be funny, see like ass cam and crotch cam.
You see like Ian McKellen's like crotch the whole movie.
Yeah, it's just his point of view, which is like, that's what he sees.
Oh man. So I guess the last bit of news before we get to the new release roundup is that this past Sunday was the 35th anniversary of Jaws, the original summer blockbuster.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I thought you were agreeing with me at first, Brian. Now you're humming the theme.
A little bit of both.
You're like humming your hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You're right.
So, do you guys like what your favorite scene from Jaws is, or?
No, I don't really have a favorite scene.
Just the whole thing?
The whole thing.
I can't believe I ate the whole thing.
I like, we're going to need a bigger boat.
Yeah. You know. Chris?
I love the part where, that captain guy.
Quint?
Who is like a Quint. When he's like, when everyone's like, we should fucking like kill the shark. And he's just in the room, the community center, and he's like scratches the chalkboard. Come on, like, who doesn't want to do that in real life? Who doesn't want to see, like, a gathering of people and fucking do that in a classroom or something? But we can't these days. Teachers write on, like, whiteboards, so you can't, like, scratch that. Cause you gotta
or PowerPoint, yeah.
Yeah, so...
Chris has tried.
I've tried. I brought rakes and shovels and sporks to try it. Nope, doesn't work at all.
With this hook and this bar of chocolate, I'll land your boy. I'll skin him for free. I guess probably my favorite. I got favorite scene is probably like the end. With like
Smile, son of a bitch.
Smile, you son of a bitch.
Yeah, that's one of mine too.
And then like Quint gets eaten by the shark. Like we finally get to see the mechanical shark, like the whole mechanical shark. He's just like getting destroyed by it. And also, my favorite unintentionally hilarious Jaws scene is from Jaws 3, where Dennis Quaid is, like, freaking out, like, trying to warn people, like, Jaws is, like, loose in SeaWorld or whatever. And he's driving a boat and he's freaking out, and he crashes the boat onto land, jumps in the golf cart, flips the golf cart, and starts running at people.
I believe that's the third time you mentioned that on this podcast. And it's funny you mention that because every time I turn on the TV and that's on,
that scene
is always on.
Oh my god, it's a shark!
It makes me
laugh. Know, that movie was in 3D, you know, when it first was released in theaters, and that supposedly gave people heart attacks and stuff. People were scared about this slowly moving 3D image. And, people understood, 3D was a gimmick. And it works for, certain movies, a scary movie, but, it was increasing my hatred for, 3D things. And if they ever did, a Jaws remake and fucking made it 3D, I'm just gonna burn the theater down.
Well, I think Jaws... Go ahead, Brian.
Go, Zach.
Oh, me?
Oh, okay, I'll go. Yeah. You know, Chris, they said Jaws 3D is supposed to, that's not the one that scared people. It was Jaws of Revenge.
Just because it's so bad?
Exactly.
That's easily one of the worst movies ever made.
Which one's Revenge? Because I confuse 2 and Revenge a lot.
Revenge is the one with Michael Caine as Hoagie. Yes.
That's the one where he makes him bite the wire, right?
I can't remember, but it's the one where, Mrs. Brody thinks the shark is stalking them. So
the boys, right?
Yeah. Well, one of the sons gets killed, and they fly to the Bahamas, and the shark follows them to the Bahamas.
Is the second one the one where Brody tries to get him to bite a power line? Is that the second one?
I can't remember. I've only seen the second one once. I can't remember.
All right.
Before it was one where they ram, at the end of the movie, they had that sonar thing, and they're flashing at the shark, and the shark starts roaring at them. And then they ram the shark with the boat and blow it up.
Oh, yeah. It's was it a black guy that gets eaten? He's the only black guy with them?
I think so, yeah.
Glasses and an afro, and, he was one of the son's friends, and then he gets fucking eaten.
Yeah, he's a marine biologist or something.
Right, yeah, I did see this.
Then the last...
I saw the cause, but, it's all confusing.
Yeah, and the last Starfighter's there.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, yeah, Jaws 1, classic, the rest of the movie's just... horrible.
Yeah. See, it's not hard to write a movie about a shark, but then, when it starts appearing, 3 extra times, and it's doing the same shit.
It's not even the same shark. It's, the shark's, fifth cousin.
Did it explain that? Because remember in 3, they try to explain some shit like that, where it's
I think it was
it's an angry shark.
It's the shark's wife.
Because then they got a dolphin, to talk to it, and then try to beat the shit out of the shark, remember?
Yeah.
And then there was the spiritual sequel, Deep Blue Sea, and that was terrible.
Yep. Oh, God. So, yeah, happy anniversary, Jaws. We hate the rest of your movies.
We love you, and we fuck offspring.
Yeah, your demon seed. So, why don't we get into the new release roundup for this week? So the big movie is... it's kind of a slow week, but the big movie is Green Zone, the Matt Damon actioner.
The non-born movie?
Yeah. The not-born movie.
But he's secretly born.
And then, I said, Also, Entourage Season 6 is out. Entourage! Avatar The Last Airbender Collector's Edition Book 1 thing. It's the most ridiculous long title ever.
I wonder why they're releasing that.
I don't know. I think there's a movie coming out maybe or something.
Oh, really?
Also, She's Out of My League is out this week.
Hey, that movie was pretty good.
Oh, you saw it, Brian?
Mm-hmm. It was a step up from the other dumb romantic comedies, so it gets a pass from me.
Okay.
That means a lot. That means a lot, then.
Also, Hung Season 1 is out with Tom Jane.
I like that show. I like Tom Jane now, ever since The Punisher, because it's some people give him shit for it, but I respected him for that, and he played a pretty decent Punisher, and he's a pretty decent actor, and he just doesn't get enough good roles. That's his problem.
The Mist?
Yeah, that was good. That was really good.
Arrested Development? Of Tom Jane. I just want my kids back. All right, easy, Tom Jane. So also out is Death Race 2000, which is the original. It's part of the Roger Corman Cult Classic Collection.
Wow.
So I think that...
I can't believe there's actually a cult classic.
That's a cult classic. Death Race 2000 with, like, Stallone and, like, running down bystanders to get points.
And David Carradine?
Yeah.
As Frankenstein?
Mm-hmm.
You see, that would make sense, but then the remake came out, and that kind of, like, no one's like...
Where's Mario Kart?
Yeah.
That was, like, the remake of Death Race was pretty... It was okay. I liked it.
It was dumb, but I enjoyed it.
The awesome line from Joan Allen. I can't remember. It was like, all right, you cocksucker. You want shit with me? Shit on this floor? Or I can't remember what she said. It was just like... It's almost ridiculous.
Yeah, it's okay, cocksucker. Fuck with me and we'll see what shit's on the sidewalk.
Yes, that's what it was. That's like the most ridiculous line from like a respected actress.
Like, whoa, hello.
It's like Morgan Freeman. Like that was yeah, that was also the year like Morgan Freeman was like, kill this motherfucker.
Oh, from Wanted?
Yep.
Yeah.
He was like, shoot this motherfucker.
Yep.
And I was like, is this the same Morgan Freeman that like
told us about penguins?
It talks about penguins and like tries to sell me credit cards.
Mm-hmm.
He was channeling his inner Samuel L. Jackson for that line.
Yeah.
His inner...
Oh, God.
I could say that because I'm a minority.
No, no.
I'm in New York.
Really.
So, anyway...
Don't worry. I'll bring it back. I'll get forward. Whatever.
Oh, God. So, last thing is... Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs on 3D Blu-ray.
That movie was good, but the 3D, like you said, is a gimmick. Although that movie in 3D kind of makes sense.
Yeah.
But isn't there, like, an option where, like, you could, like, throw shit on the screen through your remote? There's, like, a mode that does that. I remember, like, they're trying to sell... It was, like, a selling point in, like, the features where, like, if any time during the movie you could... Like,
on the first Blu-ray, or...?
I think so. I think it was, like, the first Blu-ray.
Hmm.
It was something really dumb and gimmicky, but... And then now that was in 3D, like, the whole thing, they converted it.
Yeah, that was a good movie, though.
Right.
Bruce Campbell is the evil mayor.
Yeah, he was perfect.
Yep. So, anyway, why don't we get into our discussion topic for the week? And one of our favorite, one of our most beloved shows is back on Thursday, on the day you're probably listening to this, Thursday. It's Futurama.
Yeah.
Finally.
Been, like, crapped down by Fox pretty much his whole life. It was on, like, 7 o'clock on Sundays, and, like, it was always, like, preempted by football games and stuff, so... Then it did awesome on Adult Swim, and then, like, Comedy Central bought it, so now it's... The new season's gonna be on Comedy Central.
Plus the movies.
Yeah, plus the movies. So we thought we'd just run down our top 5 favorite Futurama episodes. So, Brian, you want to start with your number 5?
I'm not going to do a top 5.
Oh, yeah, you're just going to do like a...
I'm just going to go with some...
Generally 5.
So, I'll put these first 2 at the top, because everybody else probably does. You got The Luck of the Fry-Irish.
Yep.
Fry and his four-leaf clover.
Uh-huh.
Touching, very touching.
Yep. His brother Yancey.
His brother Yancey, and it's very touching at the end. So that's a great one, great storytelling. And in the same vein, you also have Jurassic Park about...
Man, that's 2 for 2, man. 2 for 2 for mine.
Come on. If you ask anybody what their favorite Futurama episodes are, those two are gonna be at the top of the list.
Yeah.
So, plus I get to go first. So there's those two. The other ones,
Well,
Anthology of Interest.
Wait, you do all yours now, Brian, or?
Yeah.
Okay, fine.
Thought we were going to do that.
Yeah, we can do it like that. So,
and Dolly, just 1 or 2?
Probably the second one.
Yeah. The second one,
The video game.
Yes, the video game one. That is probably, it has my favorite Futurama line of all time, which is, it's Saturday night, I have no date, a 2-liter of Fresca, and my all-rushed mixtape. Let's do this.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Comfort the Widow Pac-Man.
So there's in the second anthology, there was Bender Becomes Human.
Bender Becomes Human. I love the end. Woo! That's just gas.
That's just from his fat.
Woo!
And then the video game one, yep. And then the last one was pretty good. Leela in The Wizard of Oz.
Yeah, what if Leela found her homeworld or something?
Yep.
Dr. Zoidberg's like great in that one. It's like, and it's me, the other guy. Courage, I need some. It's like, you don't need courage if you have a gun.
And another one, the Amazon woman one.
Yep.
I like that. That's a great one.
Any episode
and, Amazon woman in the mood.
Yes.
Death by Snoo Snoo.
Some killer Zap Brannigan lines in that one. Plus B. Arthur as
Fembot. The Femputer. Yes.
The Femputer.
That does not Fempute.
And I guess you could say like this quote unquote series finale with the Devil's Hands.
Devil's Hands are to play things.
Yeah. That had a really nice end. That had a nice ending too.
Yeah. And
I could
The Devil Bot is like he's awesome. He's only been like two episodes, but
yeah. If I had to expand the 10, Hella's other robots would be in that 10.
Yeah.
But
also yeah, no, 11 Devil's Hands are to play things, like Hedonism Bot.
Yeah.
That's such a great character.
Yes,
glorious! Glorious! Pour hot chocolate on my stomach!
Yep. So those are my five. Like I said, the first two universally liked.
Mm-hmm.
So Chris is pissed, but whatever.
Okay. So Chris, why don't you do your just general five or whatever? Or do you have them in top order? Or?
General.
Just general?
Yeah. I'll start with That's Lost Entertainment. Dr. Zoidberg and his uncle team up to try to, like, get the careers back on track for, like, Megan Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, like, there's, like, now and then there's, like, a very – there's not too many very heavily – there's, like, two really good Zoidberg episodes.
Like Zoidberg-centric?
Yeah, where, like, it's one where he tries to mate.
Oh, yeah.
Or it's this one.
Yeah, like the Mr. Spock, like, mating – like, the Vulcan mating season one.
Yeah,
he's on his planet, and they're all, like, out of control. Like, it's, like, either they mate or die.
Then they have the awesome Star Trek battle.
Yep.
Which is, that's, like, the national anthem.
Another one.
The national anthem for, like, Zoidberg's home planet is that song.
Yeah. Another one had to be Teenage Mutant Leela Hurdles.
Yeah.
That's in my top 10.
Where they become superheroes because of that cream.
No. This is the one where,
Oh, that's...
They age.
Oh, yeah, where they reverse age. Yeah.
Reverse age, because they fell into, like, the tar pit that, like, made everyone younger.
Mm-hmm.
That was good, because you saw, like, all the versions of things, like, you know, like, Zoidberg transformed all these different versions of crustaceans. I remember, like, Amy went through, like, a fat stage.
Yep.
And Bender was, like, if he keeps aging backwards, he becomes, like, a screw or a box or something like that.
Yeah. I think it becomes, like, a floppy disk that has, like, instructions for, like, a bending robot or something.
So that was cool. And,
I love seeing, like, Bender, like teenage Bender, and he's like, I'm just gonna run away! And versus, like, well, why don't you just go then? He's like, I will! Why don't you just watch me? Go then!
Another one is...
I love that Professor turns into a hippie, like, at the end, too.
Right. And at the
kids.
End, he's like, yep. Another one is Mother's Day, where the whole robots go, like, revolt against everybody.
Yeah.
And there's that, like, little singing Mother's Day card.
Yes. Spouts, like, communist propaganda.
Yeah. And then, like, at the end when Bender kills it, and there's that, like, cute, like, oh, like, it's such a morbid thing, because it's, like, the voice of a child, and Bender's just, like, smothering it, and it's still, like, no!
Death to the proletariat!
And what's that, four?
I think that was...
Yeah, that was four.
Yeah.
That's four? Okay. It was, I don't know. Three or four.
All right, well, then the last one would probably be where the Bugalo roam, because it's a very heavy, like... Mars reference episode because of Amy goes back to her own planet to see like the cattle ranch that the Wongs like took from the Mars Indians. That's just funny because like in the future Chinese people don't change. Like Chinese people are still like secretly thieving people. And I thought that was hilarious, being Chinese myself.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm pretty sure, like, every episode, any episode with
the Wongs.
What was it? The Wong family, it's always hilarious.
Yeah.
Because I remember, like, later on, Leo Wong, Amy's dad, becomes, like, the main villain in one of the movies, but...
In the last, Into the Wild Green Yonder. Because he wants to build, like, a giant mini golf course. Where, like, you'd, like, shoot, like, the holes with, like, new planets. So that's your five, Chris? I guess I'll do my five. I guess probably in, like, no really order, but... War is the H-word, which is the one where, like, Fry and Bender want to get, like, a discount on gum, so they sign up for the army. There's, like, a war started. So they get recruited by...
Yeah.
They're in, like, Zap Brannigan's, like, his, like, brigade or whatever. They have to, like, go fight, like, the spheroids, which are, like, giant bouncing balls. And it's also, like, Leela, like, goes undercover as, like, a man to, like, help protect them. And, like, Zap Brannigan's, like, attracted to him. Like, Leela's, like, her male counterpart. He's like,
She pulled a Mulan.
Yeah. I think her name was, like, Leela Man or something.
Yeah. Lee Man.
Yeah. There's also, like, a great, like, MASH parody with, like, Dr. Zoidberg and, like, the Hawkeye bot. Like, the Hawkeye bot would be like, man, where can I get, like, a dry martini around here? And he's like, flips the switch to maudlin. He's like, there's so much death in the world. And there's also, like, they do, like, the top 10, like, Bender's favorite words.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was a great episode. And then another one is Future Stock, which is the one where Fry meets the guy from the 80s. And then, like...
Oh, the Bonitis guy.
Yeah, that guy. Yeah. And, like, he takes over the company.
Mm-hmm.
I can probably watch, like, that scene where, like, he's, like, doing safety dance. Like, just loop that. Just, like, I can watch that, like, for, like, hours. It's like, hey buddy, I'm from the same time as you. Remember that dance, safety dance? It's like, do I? You know,
you're gonna...
The dance wasn't as safe as people said it was. And then, like, he has bonitis.
My one regret is that I never cured bonitis.
Yeah, and like, they do like the hostile take. Like, mom tries to do like a hostile takeover and stuff. It was a great mom episode too. She owns like 99.6% of her company, and like her sons have like 0.1% each. And like Scruffy owns like half the Planet Express.
Yeah.
Oh, there's that great, like, they did, like, they changed their name to Plan X when, like, Fry and that guy take over, and, like, they do, like, that awesome 1984 spoof commercial. And then he was like, people don't even know what we do, and, like, Bender's like, I don't even know what we do. So, third one is Insane in the Mainframe, which is the one where Fry and Bender run into Bender's friend Roberto, and he robs the bank. Then, like, Fry and... all three of them get sent to, like, the robot mental institution.
Hey, Red.
I'm just going to...
That's the one they robbed.
I'm going to press my stabbing.
The bank?
Yeah.
You robbed the bank, like, three times in a row.
Yeah. You robbed the same bank three times? Gutsy. That's gutsy. And there's, like, Abraham Lincoln bot. Like, he has, like, split personalities, all of them Lincoln. And there's, like... Eventually, like, Fry, like, thinks he's a robot and, like, tries to figure out, like, what kind of robot he is. I'm a calcubot. He throws the calculator away. What's this symbol? That's a plus sign. And then, like, Roberto, like, takes everyone hostage and, like, Fry manages to beat him and stuff. Roberto was just, like, an awesome character, though. I'm just gonna practice my stabbing! Yeah! Cha-cha-cha! So, another one is The Day the Earth Stood Stupid, which is the first one with the brain spawn.
Yep.
And it's also where you learn, like, Nibbler is, like, actually, like, this, like, super wise, super powerful ancient being. It's just, like, it's just great, like, everyone turns stupid except Fry because he, like,
He has that special gene.
Yes. He doesn't have, like, the Y beta stream or something in his brain. And so, everyone turns stupid, and this is, Fry, tries to teach them. Like, this is our first president, George Washington. Let's review. Who is this? And George Washington, he has George Washington head in the jar. George Washington is, Abraham Lincoln? And, they go to the library, because they have to, fight the giant brain spawn, and, he sucks them into, the book, the classic literature books, Moby Dick and stuff. Tom Sawyer. It's like, did you see a giant brain around here? And Tom Sawyer's like, yeah, right over there. Damn it, Tom Sawyer, you tricked me.
I just remembered one. And I'm going to replace my Amazon women with Roswell That Ends Well.
I was just going to get to that one, Brian.
Oh my god, that's definitely one of my favorites.
That is the fan favorite.
Yep.
So when we just, where they, Fry is popping popcorn, they're looking at, whatever, what was it, they're looking at, a star exploding or something?
Yeah.
So the energy beams, connect and they get transported back to the 50s?
No, he microwaves,
Jiffy Pop in the microwave.
Jiffy Pop, yeah.
Yeah, so then they get transported back to the 50s and, Fry tries to protect his grandpa because he thinks he's gonna die. But then he ends up, blowing up a nuclear bomb. So then Fry is like, if I'm still here, that means my grandma's not my grandma.
So it's okay.
Yeah, so he sleeps with his grandma and then, so then Fry becomes his own grandpa.
And the best part's, towards the end because the professor's, all about, don't change the future, and then they're trying to get out of there, and then he's like, well, screw the future.
Because they want to, the only way back is, to steal, the microwave radar dish that's, at the base, yeah. The military base is, Professor's like, let's just steal the damn radar dish. Fry's like, won't that change the future? He's like, oh, I'm sorry, are you concerned about that now, Mr. I'm My Own Grandpa? that's a great Dr. Zoidberg episode, too, because, he's an example of that military, and, they set out, the buffet to, figure out what Dr. Zoidberg eats. He's like, oh my god, a buffet! I didn't bring my wallet. It's free. So he just see, food, splattered all over the window.
Wait, what's the present that comes off a box? It's like...
I think it was,
They bring...
I think it was, Woodrow Wilson or something, I think.
Harry Truman.
Yeah, Harry Truman.
Yeah, they bring out and Truman he karate chops out of the crate.
Yep. And he's like, if you come in peace, surrender. If you come in to attack us, we surrender. And Dr. Zorberg is like, are you coming on to me? I didn't hear a no. Yeah, so those are some of my five. And I have just a couple other ones. Time Keeps on Slipping, which is the one where they get the chrono. Tons or whatever, the time particles, because they have to beat the Harlem Globetrotters in a basketball game.
Oh, that was a planet of Globetrotters.
Yes. I am Bubblegum Tate, commander of the Harlem Globetrotter home world. And everyone takes ridiculously seriously. Harlem Globetrotter game, it's like, there are no stakes and nothing will be wagered, except your honor. It's like, clearly Joe laughed derisively at them. Also, another awesome one was Godfellas, which is the one where Bender becomes God.
Yep.
He has, the little people, living on him.
Oh my god, that one... So many people, try to misquote the sphere, the lights. It's like, if you do nothing at all, then,
If you're doing things right, it seems like you're doing nothing at all.
Right.
Yeah, guy's like a giant nebula or something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's and sort of like the Why of Fry, which is the one that proved Futurama was planned way ahead. Because you find out that Nibbler's the one who pushed Fry into the cryo tube. And it's in the pilot. You can see Nibbler's shadow in the pilot.
Really?
Yeah.
I need to go back then and see that shadow.
Right from the beginning, it was already planned ahead.
They did a good job with this series kind of tying things together and mm-hmm. having a good narrative.
Then, I guess the last one I'll mention is Where No Fan Has Gone Before, which is a Star Trek one.
Yep.
Where they got the entire original Star Trek crew to come back. And they all get, trapped on a planet with, that Melbar, who's, the ultimate Star Trek fan. He's like a typical.
Oh my god.
He's like a, he's a typical like Star Trek energy being villain.
And there's the one with Al Gore and Gary Gygax.
Oh, that was Anthology of Interest 1.
Yep.
Like, what if Fry never went to the future? It's like Al Gore's like, what is it, like Al Gore's like nerd response team or something.
Yeah.
They have like Deep Blue, the chess playing robot. He's like rook to pawn 6. It's like, don't worry, Deep Blue, you'll understand human emotions one day.
And he deadpans it. Yeah. So good.
I guess Futurama is like Al Gore's favorite show or something, I think he said once.
Oh, his daughter used to write for it.
Mm-hmm. So that type of art too. Yeah. So just Futurama, just a great, great show.
Yep.
Hopefully it'll be as good as it was when it comes back.
Yeah, the plot so far sound pretty good.
What's the first, like, the first one's like, they all die or something, and the professor makes them, like, new bodies or something?
Yeah, it takes place, right after the end of Into the Wild, Green Yonder.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that's been pretty good.
Can't wait for that.
I gotta finish that. I have to finish it to, like, be caught on task. I have, like, what, less than 2 days to watch it?
Yeah.
Yep. Get cracking.
Well, actually, it's already on if you're right now, Chris, because the future.
What?
It's recording Tuesday, but this goes up on Thursday, so.
I know, but I mean, for all I know, I'm like listening to the recording and just like, oh shit! Like,
well, that's right. I have to watch this.
All right.
So
what's on? So we're going for next week then.
Oh, next week is I think me and Chris are gonna have to carry this one, but it's the 15th anniversary of Mighty Morphin Power Rangers the movie.
Oh, yeah, hell yeah.
It's a Mighty Morphin Power Rangers blowout next week.
That's all you guys.
Gotta put my Morpher on and put on the coin and bring out the goddamn Blue Ranger mask.
Yes.
And just sit in my basement. Hope no one catches me.
It's a Mighty Morphin Power Rangers cast.
You are a sad individual.
Yeah, so we're gonna talk about the show, the movie, all the knockoffs.
I'll talk about the games. Oh my god, there was such potential in these games.
Save your talk for next week.
Mm-hmm.
I will. I'll talk about the Jew putty.
Oh my god.
Awesome.
Oh, Ivan Ooze. Okay.
Ivan Ooze. All right.
So if you want more of our crazy ramblings, as always, you can go to www.everythingaction.com, and you can find us on iTunes by searching for Everything Action Cast. You can subscribe and leave us comments and rate us there. Find us on Facebook. Just search Facebook for Everything Action. You can find out when new posts go up on the site. And also twitter.com/EVAction is, you can follow us on Twitter and send us emails at contact@everythingaction.com. So I think
and
Brian.
And.
Oh yeah. And
the app.
Yeah, the app.
So iOS 4 just came out. So if you have that, then you can upgrade to the new version of the app. The new version of the app has ads, but they can be kind of cool ads. They're iAds, so there's probably going to be some movie trailers in there as well. And now you can view selected YouTube clips from posts inside the iPhone app.
Mm-hmm.
And now you get 20 posts on the main page instead of 10. And
listen to the latest episode of the Everything Action Cast.
Yes, yep, you can do that. And we have a new cool splash screen, so check it out.
Yes, and it's free, right, Brian?
Yep, 100% free.
Awesome.
On the iTunes store for your iPhone, iPod Touch, or iPad.
Awesome. So I think that's going to do it for this week. For Brian and Chris and also Charlie, I'm Zach, and we'll see you next week.